Welcome to Scuderia F1, the podcast that's always up to speed with the latest Formula One news. Follow us on Twitter at Scuderia F1 Pod and subscribe to the show on iTunes and Stitcher. Now, here are your hosts, Mark Daly and Kevin Laramie.
Hey everybody, what is up? Welcome to the podcast that is always up to speed with Formula One here on the Overtime Media Network. Mark Daly, welcome you to the show this week in a situation that none of us ever expected to find ourselves in. But wherever you are, I hope you're safe. I hope you and your loved ones are healthy. And together, eventually, we will get through this coronavirus pandemic. And guys, please remember to follow all the advice and the suggestions and the orders that are be given by your health officials. And that is, remember, practice social distancing, 6 feet or 2 meters apart. Wash your hands for 20 seconds with soap, if not longer. And do everything right. If you're sick, stay home. If you're still allowed to go out, I know many parts of the world are on lockdown. And if you're feeling really sick, make sure you get in touch with a health professional and see if you need to get tested, because this is a very, very serious thing. And like I say, I hope wherever you are, I hope you're safe. I hope you're healthy. And the same goes for your loved ones. And hopefully this will be over sooner rather than later, but it still seems to be spiraling out of control in several parts of the world. And it is just a terrible, terrible situation. And it is really nothing that any of us have ever dealt before. I mean, it has impacted all four corners of the globe. And it really has impacted everyone's life to one degree or another. I mean, just going from what we were dealing with here in my own life, I mean, obviously, Formula One took a backseat to everything. And of course, that's why we didn't do a show last week. But as we adapt to what the new normal is, and here in British Columbia on the west coast of Canada, we are not subject to an official hard lockdown, let's put it that way. All public gatherings of are banned, essential services only. Most people, if they are working, if they can work from home, they're working from home. And really, what the orders have been given by the authorities are just to go out for essential things only, for shopping, for groceries, and you know, if you can go to work, if it's safe to do so, that sort of thing. And hopefully over the next couple of weeks, these measures will have started to turn the tide. And let's hope, because it's just been an awful, awful situation. And that really is part of the reason why I wanted to do a show tonight, is because, of course, I'm not trying to be oblivious or ignoring what's happening on the outside. But I just, like everybody else, I need a bit of a distraction. You know, this coronavirus thing and all the stress that it's put on everybody's lives, you know, worrying about our health, of ourselves, our elders, our friends, our coworkers, whoever it might be. And the fact that so many people have lost their jobs. I mean, the stress is real out there in so many different ways. And just to sit down here and talk about Formula One, even though most of the news I have to share with you guys tonight is coronavirus related, but even just to talk about Formula One here for the next half an hour, 45 minutes, however long it takes to get through the news, is just a little bit of what we're used to, a little bit of our normal lives back. And if that's a distraction from reality for half an hour, 45 minutes, then I think, you know, it's something that we could all use, because from the minute I wake up to the time I go to sleep, it seems that there is some sort of, you know, bad news out there. So let's just dive right into it. But before we do, I just want to talk to you about Simply Safe, because every night, local police departments across America receive hundreds of calls from burglar alarms. But the vast majority of the time, they have no idea whether the alarm is real. Is there really a crime going on or not? All the alarm company can tell them is that the motion sensor went off. But Simply Safe home security is different. So if there's a break-in, Simply Safe uses real video evidence to give police an eyewitness account of the crime. That means police will dispatch up to 350% faster than for a normal burglar alarm. You get comprehensive protection for your entire home. Outdoor cameras and doorbells alert you to anyone approaching your home. And entry, motion, and glass break sensors guard the inside. Plus, Simply Safe protects your home from fires, water damage, and carbon carbon monoxide poisoning. It's 24/7 monitoring by live security professionals. So you can set it up on your own, no tools needed, or SimpliSafe can do it for you. And on top of that, it's only 50 cents a day with no contracts. So visit simplisafe.com/overtime. You'll get free shipping and a 60-day risk-free trial. You've got nothing to lose. So go now and be sure you go to simplisafe.com/overtime so they know our show sent you. That's simplisafe.com/overtime. All right, well, let's talk about the latest F1 news. And like I said just now, most of it is coronavirus related one way or another. But some of the good news, at least off the top of the show, is the McLaren staff that were in quarantine in Australia down in Melbourne after the abortive attempt to get the Australian Grand Prix going a couple of weeks ago. Well, they're back in the UK and they're all have safely returned home. And this was all in the wake of one of the team personnel that tested positive for coronavirus during the weekend, and then another 16 team personnel will also put into quarantine for 2 weeks to make sure that they had not been infected by the virus. So other staff, including race director Andrea Stella, stayed in Melbourne just to be there and offer support for their colleagues that were basically locked down in their hotel rooms. I mean, it's been tough enough for most of us just being able to, or being stuck inside, stuck at home, and not being able to live life as usual. But still, I mean, occasionally, you know, some of us are able to get out. I went grab some groceries this afternoon. I went to the office briefly a couple of days earlier this week, but these people have been locked down in their hotel rooms for 2 weeks. So that was a real tough thing for them to do, but glad to hear that they've tested negative and they're back home. And that is one small ray of hope in an otherwise news filled with lots of dark things. Anyways, in a statement from McLaren, they said, quote, "We are pleased to confirm that as of yesterday evening, all teams personnel who were in self-isolation in Melbourne, as well as management who had stayed with them, have now safely returned home." So that is indeed very, very good to hear. And then McLaren CEO Zak Brown said that team never doubted it was the right decision to cancel the race at Albert Park a couple of weeks ago. And Zak had to say, quote, "Even though we're all racers and we were looking forward to hitting the track, it was an easy decision to make. Protecting the well-being of our team is always the number one priority. We have a duty of care to our people, fans, and wider F1 stakeholders, and that's why we informed Formula One and the FIA of our withdrawal shortly before the hearing on Thursday night that a member of the team had tested positive," end quote. Well, yeah, like I say, just one little bit of good news, but this is another good one here. So the UK-based Formula One teams are going to help with the ventilator production via something called Project Pit Lane, and this is really cool. I mean, there's seven teams, including Red Bull, Racing Point, Haas, McLaren, Mercedes, Renault, and Williams. They're putting in, and also what they're calling their respective technology arms. They're going to be putting together and working on building respirators in response to the United Kingdom's government's call for aid in the production of these urgently needed pieces of medical equipment. And that is just reflected worldwide that there is a desperate need of ventilators for those most severely affected by coronavirus. And it's good to see that Formula One can repurpose themselves, and hopefully they can make a difference. There was a statement released by F1 that says, quote, "These work streams vary in scope from reverse engineering existing medical devices to support and scaling the production of existing ventilator designs as part of the Ventilator Challenge UK consortium to the rapid design and prototype manufacture of a new device for certification and subsequent production. In each instance, Project Pit Lane will pool the resources and capabilities of its member teams to the greatest effect, focusing on the core skills of the F1 industry, rapid design, prototype manufacture, test, and skilled assembly. F1's unique ability to rapidly respond to engineering technological challenges allows the group to add value to the wider engineering industry's response. The focus of Project Pit Lane will now be on coordinating and answering the clear challenges that have been set. The seven teams remain ready to support in other areas requiring rapid, innovative technology responses to the unique challenges posed by the COVID-19 pandemic." end quote. So it's also believed that F1 is also involved in the Project Pit Lane initiative with Pat Simmons and his technical team involved in the process. So that's really cool to see. And it's also been reflected here also in North America. There's been a manufacturer of baseball uniforms. They're now switching to, there's no sports being played anywhere. So what they're doing is using their skills and knowledge and expertise to use the materials that they have on hand to make medical smocks and things like that for healthcare workers, which I think is great. Bauer Equipment here in Canada, which is a well-known brand of hockey equipment. One of the things that they produce is protective eye shields for hockey players that they put on the front of their helmets to protect their eyes from sticks and pucks and all that sort of stuff. They're switching to provide face shields for healthcare workers, which is really cool because, you know, they use these special anti-fog materials and all these different things. There's already been a bunch of prototypes that they'd posted to their social media accounts. So I think it's really cool to see different areas that you wouldn't expect to get involved in something like that, that they're getting involved in. Hopefully it really makes a difference. So you have, obviously Formula One was impacted like everyone else with the coronavirus pandemic. But Lewis Hamilton told his fans earlier this week that he's healthy and he's training hard while he's waiting for the season to kick off. He's in self-isolation after, like everyone else. And he did participate in an event in which other guests there have tested positive for COVID-19. And that includes actor Idris Elba and Sophie Gregoire Trudeau, who is the Prime Minister Trudeau's wife here in Canada. They've been in self-isolation for the past 2 weeks. I believe that they just were cleared in the past day or so, so that's good to see. But Lewis had to say on social media, quote, "There's been some speculation about my health after I was at an event where two people later tested positive for coronavirus. I wanted to let you know that I'm doing well, feeling healthy, and working out twice a day. I have zero symptoms, and it's now been 17 days since I saw Sophie and Idris. I've been in touch with Idris, and I'm happy to hear he's okay. I did speak to my doctor and double-checked if I needed to take a test, but the truth is there's a limited amount of tests available and there are people who need it more than I do, especially when I wasn't showing any symptoms at all. So what I've done is keep myself isolated this past week, actually since practice was canceled last Friday, and kept my distance from people. The most important thing that everyone can do is stay positive, social distance as best you can, self-isolate if you need to, and regularly wash your hands with soap and water for at least 20 seconds," end quote. Well, good to hear that that Lewis is doing well and also doing the sensible thing. But he did subsequently lash out at what he called selfish people who are ignoring social distancing. And, I'm glad to see that he's using his position to make a distance or a difference and really try and get the message across, being an influencer as he is. Anyways, he wrote on social media, quote, "I'm so sad to hear the amount of deaths happening around the world. I know most of us are limited with the knowledge of why and how this has happened. There's nothing we can do about it either way, except to isolate ourselves, stop ourselves from catching it and spreading it. There are people out there still going to clubs and bars and large gatherings, which I personally feel is totally irresponsible and selfish," end quote. He went on to say, I'm praying for my family's safety each day, but I'm also praying for you out there. I'm praying for those working at the local stores, deliverers, doctors, and nurses who put their own health at risk to help others and keep countries running. Those are the heroes. Please stay safe, people," end quote. Again, good to hear that that Lewis is weighing in, and I can't say enough for the people that that are in healthcare, the doctors, the nurses, the pharmacists, people that work there sanitizing, keeping the hospitals clean, the people that that are working and stocking the shelves in our grocery stores, the delivery drivers that that are dropping off people that are still spending money on our local restaurants to support them in this difficult time by getting takeout, the delivery drivers dropping off packages. These are the people that that are really making a difference and keeping things going in this very uncertain time. Anyways, moving back to Formula One now. Racing Point. I was almost going to call them Force India all this time, and I still almost lapped backwards. But anyways, team principal at Racing Point, Otmar Szafnauer, says that he believes there is no degree of certainty when Formula One will get back to normal because of the uncertainty of the coronavirus pandemic. Excuse me. And this is completely true. We have seen a number of races canceled, not just Australia, Bahrain, China. Well, China, we knew a little while ago before this really started to spiral out of control. China was kind of canceled about a month ago. Vietnam, Baku, Monaco's off the list. The Dutch Grand Prix is off the schedule. So basically, as of today, FP1 for the Canadian Grand Prix on the 11th of June is possibly maybe the first event that we will see in the 2020 Formula One season. I don't know. We will see. This is a situation that is so fluid. It is changing so quickly. We really have no way to know what's happening from day to day, week to week, let alone what's going to happen in about 2.5 months from now. But let's be positive. I mean, it would be wonderful to see. I mean, I'm skeptical about it. I mean, especially the way that we've seen basically global travel, international travel lockdown. But who knows? Maybe something extremely positive and remarkable will happen between now and then. But Safnauer did have to say the following, quote, "This is an unprecedented situation, one that is changing day by day. Right now, we simply cannot say with any degree of certainty when we'll be back to normal. There are so many factors that are not under our control." And, well, I mean, one of the things is that is in regards to Formula One. We'll talk a little bit more about it in a moment here, because Safnauer has to talk about this, is that the new regs that were coming in for 2021, that's been pushed back for another 12 months. So, I mean, what we're going to see this year, that's going to be recycled and reused again in 2021. And regardless if there was this health crisis going on, it was going to be tough for all the teams to get everything sorted out and get these new cars on the track for next season. So the only logical and reasonable thing to do was to push it back another year. Anyways, Safnauer went on to say, quote, "Another decision has been taken between the teams and the FIA to delay the introduction of the new regulations until 2022. From both a logistical and cost perspective, this makes absolute sense. Of course, that doesn't mean we can afford to take it easy when we return to work. When we do eventually get back on the track, we will need to be in a position to compete, whatever the regulations. There's still plenty of work ahead, and we'll be ready to tackle it when the time comes. Anyway, so Racing Point, they are in a lockdown at the moment, and the earliest that they will be able to go back to work is April 16th. This is similar to what other Formula One teams are doing. Renault, for example, they've tried to get a lot of their workers to work remotely from home if they can. And that's basically what people everywhere are doing. You know, myself, I mean, a lot of the stress that I was under about a week ago was, well, number one, I wasn't sure whether or not we'd all have jobs day to day, week to week. I mean, things have settled down. We've managed to sort of find a bit of a groove, although a greatly reduced capacity. We have a small company. There's only about 20 of us there, but we work in land development and construction, and a lot of people obviously are putting projects on hold, but they're also a lot of people that were caught out by this, and there's got to be a way that we have to keep it going. Anyways, most of my staff are working at home remotely. We've had to lay people off. I mean, it's been a difficult time, and this is just one story that has been heard countless times. So it is good to see that Formula One, you know, they are trying to adapt. And Safnauer went on to say that the team has made arrangements to allow staff who could work from home to do so. And he had to say, quote, "We've also worked extremely hard over the last few weeks to ensure that all staff who can work from home have the equipment they need to set up home offices. Our first concern at a time like this is the physical and mental well-being of our teammates, their family and friends. We have everybody back home in the UK now and adjusting to this new reality, but it's certainly not easy for anyone. We're obviously disappointed not to be able to race for the foreseeable future, but ultimately we all understand the significance of the situation. The challenges the world is currently facing are unlike anything I've known in my lifetime and clearly transcend the sport, so the decisions that have been made are the correct ones," end quote. Anyways, Bernie Ecclestone. Yes, well, Bernie, he had to weigh on the situation as well. I mean, he's been out of management in Formula One for the past couple of years since it was taken over by Liberty Media. Anyways, Bernie said that if he was still in charge, he would just abandon the entire 2020 season rather than push ahead and get some races scheduled. In an interview speaking with Reuters news agency, he said, quote, "Today, what would I do? I think I'd say we're going to close down talk of having any races this year. There's only the only thing you can do safely for everyone so nobody starts making silly arrangements which may not be able to happen. It's unfortunate, but that's how it is." Anyway, so he was then asked about his opinion on Liberty's proposal of a modified calendar of possibly 15 to 18 races. He had to say, quote, "I'd be very, very surprised if they managed to achieve that. I hope they do. I really hope they do. They could run three or four races at the beginning of next year and still count to the 2020 championship. The problem is, where are you going to have them and where the teams can go and the promoter wants to run a race? It's all very well making the calendar, which you can do while you wait. The big problem is getting the promoters to want to run the race," end quote. Yeah, I mean, it is interesting. I mean, I completely understand. We're going to talk about this in a moment here, that Liberty do want to make sure that, or are going to attempt to try and run a modified calendar at some point when things hopefully get back to normal sooner rather than later. But at this time, I mean, it is impossible to be able to make any concrete plans, what with public gatherings banned for the foreseeable future. I mean, even in many, many countries, I mean, you're not supposed to gather more than a couple of people. And that's just the way it's going to be for quite some time. Anyways, we've seen other major events like the Euros postponed for a year, the Olympics, which they really felt like they were going to try and push ahead with it in July, end of July. That's been postponed for another year. And I mean, even events, you know, several months out, I mean, there's just so much uncertainty in the short term to really be able to plan for it. Would I love to see Formula One at some point this year? Of course I do. But the bigger situation, it, you know, takes precedence. It's more important. And number two, like, how's it going to work if, you know, travel is still restricted and there are still hot spots of coronavirus around the earth going on? I mean, until this thing is stamped out, or there's some way that you know, that maybe a vaccine, some sort of treatment, is comes up in the meantime, it's it's frightening to think that it may flare up again. So anyways, we'll wait to see. Anyways, time now for a very quick break here on the Overtime Media Network. Don't go away, we'll be back in just a moment.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510, is he declaring an emergency? There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
All right. Well, welcome back to the show. And sticking with the theme of canceled races and reduced season, Christian Horner, team principal at Red Bull, says that he believes it's difficult to criticize the Formula One bosses over the way that they dealt with the cancellation of the Australian Grand Prix because they were chasing what he called a moving target. And it must have been very, very difficult. Anyways, in an interview with motorsport.com, Horner had the following to say, quote, "I think it's a very difficult one because it's such a moving target. When we came there, nobody had tested positive. We had one positive case, and obviously the decision has been made not to race. It's difficult to criticize. It's something that is such a moving target." Anyways, he goes on that to mention that several times, and Horner goes on to say, quote, "I think the problem is it's a moving target. If the guy had tested positive before, then we wouldn't have come, and then obviously we would have all been saved a trip. It's a shame, but at the end of the day, you have to put the health and well-being of the fans, the spectators, the team members, and the public first." End quote. And absolutely, it would have been difficult. I mean, if this had happened before everybody had left, their respective bases and traveled all the way down to the Australia, not just the F1 teams, with the media, the fans, everyone that that makes up the circus that is a Formula One Grand Prix weekend. What do you do? I mean, situation, I mean, it literally changes by the hour, by the day, and it was just it must have been. Let's just put it that way. I would not have wanted to be on that on that board of people that had to make that decision. But I think at the end of the day, they made the right call. But speaking of and things like that, I mean, I'm glad to see that there has been some sort of Formula One going on, even though it hasn't really been the real thing. We've seen that with not the Oz GP and not the Bahrain Grand Prix this past weekend, and. It's esports, but whatever. I mean, esports is a growing thing. I mean, it's cool, and it's a way just to have a bit of a distraction, just much like just doing this show is a distraction for me, a pleasant one, hopefully a pleasant distraction for you too. But it was cool to see a couple of current Formula One drivers like Lando Norris and Nick Latifi get out there, and then some former F1 drivers like Nico Hülkenberg, Esteban Gutierrez, and who was the other one? There was three, four of them. I'll remember. In a moment. Oh, Stoffel van Dorn. Yeah, that, so they were there. Also, there were some well-known esports drivers as well. So it was cool to see, and it was fun to watch, and it was something just a little bit different. Obviously, it doesn't replace the different thing or the real thing, but it was just something different last weekend just to distract us and just take our minds off the current situation, even if it was just for an hour or so. It was good fun. So personally, I'd like to see it happen again, and and just try and stick to the race schedule. That's what they decide to do. I don't know how difficult it is to put these events on, but it is something. Like I say, it is a pleasant. It's innovative, and esports is a big deal. A friend of mine works for EA Sports for the FIFA franchise. And, he's, not right now. I mean, he's locked at home just like everyone else, but he travels all over the world to different FIFA events, wherever they have the different tournaments. And it is really cool. I mean, people make big money, like these esports gamers that are right at the very top. I mean, there is some serious cash up for grabs, but I mean, at least that's a completely different tangent. But at least from the Formula One side, a cool thing for them to do just to distract us at least for a couple hours there last weekend. Anyways, talking a little bit more now about the cancellation of some of the races. Like I was saying, we are now canceled up to the Canadian Grand Prix at the beginning of June. Even that seems a little bit tenuous. And who knows? Maybe at that point, would it be a thing to run a Grand Prix with no spectators at that point, if it's possible, if the international travel and all these quarantine rules are eased by then? I don't know, but it would be it would be something. I mean, it wouldn't be quite the same without all the fans there, but who knows? We'll wait and see. Anyways, Danny Ricciardo had to say earlier this week that the cancellation of the Monaco Grand Prix hurt, and he said that was when the real reality of the delayed start to the season really began to really sink in. Anyways, Danny Rick had to say, quote, "I'm not racing laps in my head yet because I don't know what track we're going to be racing on. I watched an onboard of Monaco last night and got a bit sad. I don't really know where we're going to be. That one hurt me." They're all going to hurt for sure. Melbourne being so close as well. The reality is setting in, unfortunately. Going on a little bit further, Ricardo had to add, quote, "It's going to get real. I'm thinking of qualifying last because I think turn one is just going to be mayhem. I'll just watch it all unfold and then I'll lead the first lap. I'll put on the pole and voluntary start last." Anyways, he was talking about maybe the opportunity to get back on the track perhaps at the Canadian Grand Prix on the 14th of June. But yeah, I think that's we've had a couple of weeks now. I know that March 12th is the big day when a lot of things got canceled. Around here was reality started to change. I think that first week was it was very, very difficult to deal with, and slowly but surely we're starting to adapt each and every day to these new restrictions that we have to live under. And much like Danny Ricciardo was saying, that reality has set in, and as much as all of us want to see Formula One again, who knows when it's going to happen? Who knows? Not even going to try and speculate. Anyways, one person that is trying to speculate is François Dumontier. He is the promoter for the Canadian Grand Prix in Montreal, and he said he's optimistic but realistic about the race that is supposed to happen there at the Île Notre-Dame on 14th or the 11th to 14th of June, and it could very well be the opening round if everything comes to pass in an ideal situation. But Dumontier told Motorsport.com, quote, "As you can imagine, I'm in discussion almost every day or every 2 days with Formula One. I'm also in discussion with the local authorities here, the city and the government, and still on the calendar as planned, June 14th. We are optimistic, but we are also realistic. We still have a few weeks, I would say 2 or 3 weeks in front of us before we have to start erecting the grandstands and preparing the site. If we need to take a decision about postponing the event, that decision will be a common decision between F1 and myself sometime after the Easter weekend. Yesterday here in Quebec, our Prime Minister asked all non-essential businesses to close up to the 13th of April. So currently, we couldn't do any work at the track. My team who organized the race have been working from home last week and days. So we still have 2 or 3 weeks in front of us before taking the decision. Hopefully, we could do it on the date, becoming the first race of the season. But at the same time, I'm working on different scenarios on postponing the event." So apparently there is some flexibility to maybe run the race in Montreal later in the year, but Montreal, they get a little bit of winter. In Vancouver, where I live, not so much, but they're saying that it would have to be, if it was to be rescheduled, that it would have to be somewhere before the U.S. Grand Prix of the Circuit of the Americas on October 25th. But the first race that they ever had in Montreal way back in 1978 was held, I believe, where was it in my notes? Yeah, it was held on October 8th. And then it was the next several years after that, it was run on the last Sunday of September. And then since then, it's always been run at the first weekend in June. So anyways, Dumontier, he did also have to add, quote, "We don't have any dates so far. I guess F1 will have to scramble and play with this. For us, let's say after mid-October, it's impossible to run the race." He goes on to say, "We are a private company who runs the event. We've got some support coming from private funding, but not into the organization itself. We are in contact with them, and when we take the decision, they will be aligned with us. It would be very bad luck not to run the event. I can understand that F1 needs to look at the overall situation around the world, but if we go there, we would work for 2021. Like I said, we are optimistic. At the same time, we are realistic and lucid. We need to evaluate the situation almost by the hour. We still have 2 or 3 weeks in front of us. If we need to postpone the event, we will, because if we do the event, we need to do it in a safe environment for the drivers, spectators, workers, everybody." End quote. All right. Well, let's just take another quick... let's not take a little break here. There's still quite a few things to get on. And I promise we're going to get away from this coronavirus stuff here. We got some good stuff that actually deals with some actual racing stuff. So we can get away from this. One final thing here is that F1... Earlier this week on the 19th of March, actually this over a week ago now. I mean, like I said, I'm still catching up on a lot of this. Anyways, last week, Formula One has decided to postpone the introduction of the new regs until 2022. And that came down in a phone conference featuring all the team principals, Chase Carey, the CEO of Formula One, Ross Brawn, and FAA President Jean Todt. And, it was just, again, a big thing. Anyways, the plan is not just to keep the 2020 rules for a further season, but also freeze the chassis designs of each team along with other key components. So aerodynamic development is allowed to continue, and the teams would then continue to design their cars for the new regulations during the 2021 season under the new financial regulations, which you're going to have the cost cap for the first time. Anyways, the details of regulation changes will now have to be completely gone over with a fine-tooth comb. They're going to have to dot all the I's, cross all the T's. And then eventually that's going to have to go before the World Motorsport Council, who are going to have the ultimate say. Anyways, there was a statement from the FIA that said, quote, following unanimous agreement between the FIA, Formula One, and all the teams, the implementation of the technical regulations due to take effect from the 2021 season will be postponed until 2022. All parties further discuss the current situation of the 2020 championship and how the sport will react to the ongoing challenges caused by the COVID-19 pandemic. Due to the currently volatile financial situation this has created, it has been agreed that the teams will use their 2020 chassis for 2021, with the potential freezing for further components to be discussed in due course. The introduction and implementation of the financial regulations will go ahead as planned in 2021, and discussions will remain ongoing between the FIA, Formula One, and all the teams regarding further ways to make significant cost savings. All teams have expressed their support for the FIA and Formula One in their ongoing efforts to restructure the 2020 calendar as a global situation regarding COVID-19 develops. All these commitments will be referred to the relevant governing structures for final ratification. End quote. Right. Well, like I said, it's a good thing to see, and I think it's the right decision to make as we all deal with this new reality. Anyways, I'm getting a little bit parched here. I'm going to break now for a quick message from our sponsors. And after I've hydrated here, we'll be back to talk about some more things, some more news in Formula One. So please don't go away. We'll be back in just a moment. All right, well, welcome back to the show, and just some other news here. F1 has agreed to bring forward the summer shutdown in hopes that they can help free up the August break in case Formula One can resume at that point. So anyways, of course, the season is completely on hold because of the current situation out there. But, you know, honestly, and I have nothing to back this up other than my own intuition, my own gut feeling. But to me, sometime mid-late summer seems like a more realistic scenario of getting some racing in this year rather than maybe in June for the Canadian Grand Prix or some of the European Grand Prix after that, like, not Germany, but the British Grand Prix, French Grand Prix, places like that. I don't know, but it just seems to me that sometime mid to late summer seems more like a real possibility or an option at any point. Anyways, a statement that was released by the FIA said, in light of the global impact of the COVID-19 coronavirus currently affecting the organization of the FIA Formula One World Championship events, the World Motorsport Council has approved the change that the 2020 FIA Formula One sporting regulations, moving the summer shutdown period from July and August to March and April, extending it from 14 to 21 days. All competitors must therefore observe a shutdown period of 21 consecutive days during the months of March and or April. This change was supported unanimously by both the F1 Strategy Group and F1 Commission. End quote. So there you go. Seems like a good idea. Get the break out of the way now. And if more races are canceled, so be it. And if maybe at some point we can maybe go racing in June, July, but maybe August for the Belgian Grand Prix, maybe the British Grand Prix or Hungarian Grand Prix at the end of the July. Maybe that's realistic. Who knows? But I think at least by putting the situation in a bit of a different way, by just switching it all around now, get the summer break out of the way, at least opens up some dates in the summer months, that if things go back to normal, then at least we've got dates available. I think it makes a lot of sense. Anyways, Chase Carey, CEO of Formula One, says he expects that the 2020 season will probably consist of somewhere in the neighborhood of 15 to 18 races. I mean, hey, I grew up in an era when there were only 16 races. So even if we had 15 to 18, that still sounds like a pretty good number of races for me. Anyways, that came in light after all races up to the Azerbaijan Grand Prix were all canceled. Carey had to say, quote, "Over the past week, Formula One, the 10 F1 teams and the FAA have come together and taken rapid, decisive action as part of our initial response to the COVID-19 pandemic. While at present, no one can be certain of exactly when the situation will improve. It will improve, and when it does, we will be ready to go racing again. We are all committed to bringing our fans a 2020 championship season. We recognize there is significant potential for additional postponements and currently scheduled events. Nonetheless, we and our partners fully expect the season to start at some point this summer with a revised calendar of between 15 to 18 races. As previously announced, we will utilize the summer break being brought forward to the March-April to race beyond the normal summer break period and anticipate the season end, which will extend beyond our original end date of 27 to 29th October, November, with the actual sequence and scheduled dates for races differing significantly from our original 2020 calendar. It is not possible to provide a more specific calendar now due to the fluidity of the current situation, but we expect to gain clear insights to the situation in each of our host countries, as well as the issues related to travel in these countries in the coming month." End quote. Again, he seems to be throwing out that time frame sometime in the summer, and it makes a complete... Well, it doesn't make complete sense, but just based on what we're seeing out in the world right now, that anything beyond the next month or two seems extremely optimistic. Even like I was saying a little bit earlier, even a date for the Canadian Grand Prix at the beginning of June, although I'd love to see it, that doesn't seem completely 100% realistic. I mean, that seems to be a bit of a gray area. I mean, realistically, I'm thinking somewhere in the summer makes a lot more sense. But anyways, let's get away from all of that. Let's talk now about some actual stuff happening with teams on the track, past and present. Well, not present, but certainly stuff that happened in the past. And Günther Steiner, the team principal at Haas, says he's confident that team owner Gene Haas remains committed to staying in Formula One, despite recently dropping some hints that he was maybe evaluating the future of the Formula One project. And, well, they've had a bit of a tough time, and it looked like they were a little bit on the up, but last year was not a very good season for them. And Haas was, like I say, he was dropping some hints whether or not he would commit staying into Formula One beyond the end of this year, saying that a bad year would be, in his own words, would not be favorable. Anyways, Steiner said he would not be treating the opening races of the season any differently in previous years because of Haas's comments. But of course, who knows when those opening races of the years are. Anyway, so Gene Haas had to say, quote, "I approach every race as a make or break. Every race you go and do your best. You cannot do more than the maximum. That is what we do wherever we go," end quote. Anyways, Steiner had to say, quote, "I wasn't there when he said that, so I don't know what's make and break. I think it was taken a little bit out of context." Anyways, I mean, the thing is, I love to see an American team in Formula One. It is good to see. I mean, America's a car culture. I mean, they love car racing. We love car racing here in Canada, and it just makes it makes a little bit more, even though they're based in North Carolina, it gives more of a domestic feel here in North America to Formula One having a team in the series rather than having them all based in the UK or other parts of Europe, Italy, like Ferrari and AlphaTauri or Toro Rosso, whatever they're called now. But it would be, in my opinion, a real shame if Haas decided to fold up and pull out of Formula One. But again, at the end of the day, it has to be somewhat of a profitable venture for them, and it's been difficult for them. I mean, they've shown some glimpses here and there, but 2019 was not obviously a very good year for them. Anyways, Flavio Briatore, you remember him? He's popped up a couple times in the news the past week, and he believes that Ferrari was wasting a year, going nowhere, as he said, with Kimi Raikkonen, and should have promoted Charles Leclerc a lot earlier than they did. Anyways, when he was recently on F1's Beyond the Grid podcast, and Briatore had to say, Leclerc is young, he has big balls, because he's demonstrating that. I believe if I was at Ferrari, I would have put Leclerc already 2 years ago to replace Raikkonen, because, you know, with Raikkonen, you are going nowhere. You will never win anything with him. You know, at the time, I would take the risk and put Leclerc in the car. Leclerc is a really, really strong guy. Leclerc is not recognizable now. Verstappen, for me, is the more incredible driver. He is fantastic in the way he is overtaking, the way he is a gladiator. Anyways, well, that is an interesting take, and whether or not they should have put Charles Leclerc in much earlier than they did. I mean, come on, Charles had an outstanding rookie season in Formula One in 2018. There is no disputing that. I mean, what he did in the Sauber Alfa Romeo that year, the C37, whatever it was at the time, was truly remarkable. I mean, he was just head and shoulders above, so much better than his teammate Marcus Ericsson at the time. And just doing things with that car that he probably really shouldn't have done, because it was, let's be honest, it was not really the greatest car. So what Charles was able to get out of it, I think, was just absolutely remarkable. I mean, he was able to exact every bit of performance and then some out of what was a very average Formula One car. Whether or not they should have plucked him mid-season and put him into Ferrari, or they should have just put him straight into Ferrari, well, that is, I think, a judgment call that is going to be probably disputed, and probably different people are going to have different answers to that. I think that probably, at least from the way that I see it, that that Charles went in there at the right time. And clearly he's brought a new added element, a new dimension to the team, because when it was Raikkonen and Vettel there over those past several seasons before Leclerc came there in 2019, Vettel was always going to be the fastest driver. He was just just naturally a little bit quicker than Kimi. Maybe he came down to age, maybe he came down to skill and talent, maybe a combination of the two, whatever. The point is that Vettel was always a little bit faster than Raikkonen, and they just really didn't push one another. But you get Charles coming in 2019, and he's better and faster than Vettel basically right out of the box. I mean, Vettel should not have gotten what was fourth at the Australian Grand Prix last year. I mean, Charles was clearly much, much quicker, and was told to hold station on order of the team, and ended up finishing fifth. And then you go to Bahrain a couple of weeks later, he's flying, he's told to stay and hold behind Vettel for another couple of laps, another lap, whatever it was, and immediately about, not even a half a lap later, he's finding a way around him, because he was just that much quicker. So, I mean, he had the balls and the courage to do so, and it was, wasn't really a competition. He was the rock star at Ferrari in 2019, and that was, I think, underlined, and I think he really enamored and endeared himself, I should say, to the Tifosi with that brilliant performance at Monza. It was absolutely fantastic, that win, and the way that he held off not just Lewis Hamilton and Valtteri Bottas, but he held off both of them in succession. He had the straight light advantage with the Ferrari. I mean, dodgy power unit notwithstanding, but at the time the engine was deemed to be legal. I mean, just had that extra straight line speed. Him and come out of Parabolica and all the way down the long start finish straight and go to Redofilio, and he was just able to hold them off. It was spectacular, and the fans loved him for it. But, I mean, Briatore has never really one to mince his words, and certainly it may have been, I think it was a big claim, a big statement to say that, you know, he would have put Charles Leclerc in a lot sooner than Ferrari did. I don't know. I think that is a judgment call that maybe people in at the top of Formula One might have a better feel on, but certainly I think that when it comes to making calls like that perhaps Briatore might be one of those people that would make that brave kind of call. Anyways, Briatore did have other things to say that this is going back quite some time now, that and this is still on the From the Grid podcast. He's going back a long time here, and he did originally warn Fernando Alonso that Hamilton was, quote, in Dennis's pocket. And this is a long time ago, and this is going back over a decade ago when Fernando and Lewis were teammates at McLaren way back in 2007. And he believed that Lewis Hamilton was in the pocket of team boss Ron Dennis. Anyways, Briatore had the following thing to say, quote, he went to McLaren, and this I was not happy with, he's referring to Fernando, because this was not Schumi to go to Ferrari. This was Fernando to go to McLaren, and for Fernando, McLaren was never in his dream. Especially, I tell him, you have the new guy, and the new guy was Lewis Hamilton, and the new guy is in the pocket of Ron Dennis, like you with me. And I promise you, you will have the fighting, and the guy is protected by Ron Dennis. Because of Ron, Dennis understands how quick was Hamilton, he would not spend the amount of money he paid for Fernando. If I know in my house I have a driver so quick, why would I need another one? And it was a big fight. Ron Dennis did everything by himself. You don't need him to help. I was just watching, and he did everything. I just watched. I know what happened. After two races, when you see the change of tires that was done first by Hamilton and second by Alonso, it was enough because I knew Fernando. Anyways, I think that's kind of interesting. And I mean, there's no question that that Lewis was Ron Dennis's boy. He always was. But that was quite a season. That was quite the tensions between those two drivers. I mean, I always kind of think, at least in recent times, obviously the Hamilton-Rosberg rivalry, I mean, that was another level of toxic. But I have a hard time kind of really reconciling that between Fernando Alonso and Lewis Hamilton. Certainly there was a lot of tension, a lot of negative vibes between that two. But I don't know. I find a little bit kind of difficult to reconcile those two situations, because just so long ago, and honestly, my memory is dimmed a little bit. I can just recall, honestly, that the situation between the two of them was just not pleasant. Let's put it that way. Anyways, time for one final break here on the program. Don't go away. We'll be back in just a moment. All right, well, welcome back to the show, and time to shut it down for the week. Sticking with McLaren and years gone by, Pedro De La Rosa, Hamilton's former teammate, said he knew it after just two runs that in Lewis's Formula One debut at a test at Silverstone to show his rivals that he was going to be what he called a massive problem. So his first official test run in McLaren was way back in September 2006, just a couple of days after he won the GP2 series campaign. And that's the year that he won the title. Anyways, Pedro De La Rosa was the one of the McLaren drivers at the time, and he had hoped to stay with the team for 2007. And he was running in the test along Hamilton at the very time. Anyways, De La Rosa was recently looking back at the events. And again, he was also recently on the F1 Beyond the Grid podcast. And he said the completely changed his views on Hamilton at the end of the second run. And of course, since then, Hamilton has gone on to become a six-time world champion. And De La Rosa had to say, quote, that's when my mind changed. We had two cars we were testing there, and it was his first ever Formula One experience. He did a run and he was nowhere, you know. I remember looking at the data with Philip Prue, my race engineer back then. We were looking and Philip told me, this boy will need to improve a lot over the years. It's going to be a long road for Lewis, but he will be good, but we will have to give him time, blah, blah. And I thought, yeah. I did a run, came back, looked at the times, and I saw Lewis was fastest, you know, on the second run. And I looked at the data and I said, what happened? They said, well, we gave him new tires. So I looked in the data and he was so fast through Copse, Beckett, Maggots. And then I just realized the potential of Lewis Hamilton. Just looking at the data for a couple of seconds, and I realized we had a massive problem. It was his first ever F1 test, his second run in Silverstone, and I realized this guy is very, very fast. I've seen a lot of drivers in my life, you know. I've been with very good drivers, I would say, and I feel very honored of that. But when I saw Lewis, I thought, wow, this is very special. And then when the season was over, I knew that Lewis would be in the race car, and I knew that Fernando was signed. And I was happy with that because I said to myself, I was in Ron Dennis's feet or Martin Whitmarsh's feet. I would make the same decision because Lewis was incredibly fast and Fernando, as we know, is mega, end quote. Yeah, I mean, two very, very good drivers. Unfortunately, Fernando and Lewis did not work very well together in a partnership at the team. Anyways, just talking now a little bit about the technical side of Formula One, and F1 switched to biofuels with the new generation of cars looks to be going to be a new battleground, thanks to some of the changes it's going to bring into the engine cooling characteristics. So a part of F1's push for sustainability, the new rules, which have now been delayed by a year in 2022, will require the teams to run their engines with at least a 10% blend advanced sustainable ethanol. So work has begun already among some of F1's fuel suppliers to optimize the potential of biofuel, and specifically Ferrari's technical partner Shell. I mean, if you go down to your local Shell station, probably you're going to see some Scuderia Ferrari badges there. Anyways, Shell has revealed that there's a fascinating, really interesting characteristic of the new product, and they believe that a cooling characteristic of ethanol could open up some development areas for F1 that could really be decisive in the battle field of that development over the years. Anyways, F1 development manager at Shell, Benoit Poulet, told motorsport.com, quote, "The interesting aspect of car performance is similar to when you put an ethanol-based cooling gel on your fingers. You can feel the cooling effect that you get. It will be the same for the engine. It will be able to cool some parts of the power unit, and that will be quite beneficial. We are working hard on it. The properties are certainly quite interesting for combustion, and I think we can do some interesting things. We definitely have found at the moment that this is a cooling effect is good for the engine," end quote. So yeah, I mean, wherever somebody finds an advantage, finds something interesting in Formula One, you can bet that other people are already onto it too. And if they're not, they certainly do refocus their attentions pretty quick and start looking to see if they can figure out what other people are doing and improve upon it. And this looks like it's going to be something very, very similar. Anyways, going back, this was like a couple of weeks ago. This was the one real big thing that was making the news in Formula One, and this was this dual axis steering system that Mercedes debuted during winter testing, which seems like an absolute lifetime ago now in light of everything that has happened with the coronavirus pandemic over the past several weeks. I mean, going back to winter testing at Barcelona just a little over a month ago now, about 5-6 weeks ago in the middle of February. I mean, that seems like an eternity ago. I mean, it's just absolutely crazy. Anyways, Esteban Ocon, the Renault driver who was last year reserve driver at Mercedes, admits that he did not know that Mercedes were working on DAS. And they surprised everybody during preseason testing when they introduced this new system that allowed their drivers to alter the toe angle of the front wheels by pushing or pulling on the steering wheel. We saw that on the in-car cameras. There was already like a lot of discussion about it, whether or not that would breach the Parc Fermé rules. And subsequently, there's been quite a bit of speculation that some of the teams would have protested had the Grand Prix in Australia gone ahead and Mercedes had used the DAS. So it unfortunately, that is one of those things that we can just kind of guess and speculate how that may have turned out. Maybe they would have used it in Australia. Maybe they wouldn't have. Maybe the other teams would have protested it. Maybe they wouldn't. And I know sometimes the political side, the off the track kind of side things of Formula One, I don't know. I find it kind of interesting. Sometimes it can seem a little bit petty, but certainly it would have been a fascinating situation. And because we have a team so good as Mercedes as it is already, to come out with another situation or another tool that that could potentially raise the level that they have even more, you could understand why teams would be upset, because you know apparently in the technical clarifications that were issued that it wasn't outside of the rules, although it may have breached Parc Fermé. I mean, a completely different area of it, but I mean at least technically it was not against the rules to develop and employ a system like that. Whether it was a breach of Parc Fermé rules on a race weekend, that's a completely different thing, but it would have been kind of fun to watch to see if that had happened, if that race had gone ahead and they'd actually employed it and the teams had protested it. I think Red Bull was the one team that was mentioned that if a DAS was used by Mercedes, that they certainly would have protested it. Unfortunately, we never know, or we will never know, but Esteban Ocon, you would think that a guy that was in the team last year, even though he was a reserve driver, may have had a hint of that. I mean, of course, there are rules in NDCs that team personnel and drivers have that they have to observe, that if they go and move teams that they don't disclose some of the things that their previous teams have been working on. And that's just only fair. I mean, Formula One is a fairly small world, and the people that work there are fairly specialized. So I know that there is a fair amount of back and forth between different teams, but it does happen, and certainly it would not be a fair situation for one person to disclose things that they were privy to at a previous employer, a different team in the paddock, and then bring that over to a new team. Anyways, speaking to Canal Plus in France, Ocon said the following quote, "Guess what? I swear I didn't. Either way, they were very, very clever and didn't show me the effect of the system, or they came up with it very late and designed it once I was gone, once I was stuck between Renault and Mercedes. After the end of the season, I wasn't allowed to go back to the factory. I wasn't allowed to come back and work on the simulator. Either it was by then or they were very clever. But I think they more than likely came up with a system at the end of the year when I left." End quote. There you go. So I think he's probably right too. They probably maybe have been working on it towards the end of the year. Maybe they were working on it before he left and knew that he was already on the way out to Mercedes, in which case, or sorry, to Renault, and in which case somebody that is not going to be with your team next year. But anyways, kind of cool to hear Ocon's opinion or his recollection on the subject. And again, it's one of those situations that can, it's kind of worrying if you're one of the rival teams to Mercedes, that when they're that damn good, do they really need anything that could potentially make them that much better? Now, finally, just sticking with Mercedes, and specifically with McLaren Mercedes, they insist that despite all the uncertainty that is going on, what with the fact that everything's been put on hold, that the McLaren are pretty adamant that whatever happens, that they still will be switching to Mercedes power units for 2021, despite the chassis being frozen for next year. Of course, next year was going to be a completely different thing. And this is 2020, at any rate, is McLaren's last year with Renault power, and then they're going back to Mercedes for next year. Anyways, you could imagine that would make some problems, but anyways, they have kind of put it to one side, and they've dismissed it's going to be a bit of a, this is not going to be a problem. Anyways, McLaren told Formula1.com, quote, "We will be using the Mercedes engine in 2021 as planned, and we will accommodate it in the current base chassis." Well, there you go. pretty cut and dry that they are going to find a way to make it fit into their chassis for next year. And you know, that was a part of the problem, I think, that Renault and Red Bull had over the years, that there wasn't really that much common working together, as we've seen this year and last year between Red Bull and Honda, for example, where there is a real common understanding the way that these two work together, that the Honda power unit that goes into the Red Bulls this year and also last year is really a lot more harmonious, a lot more synergistic between the two of them, rather than before that it was get a Renault power unit and adapt it, or whatever, adapt the chassis and make it fit in the car one way or another. There's there's a lot more cooperation that goes on between Honda and Red Bull than previously between Renault and Red Bull. But so, you know, it is kind of interesting that when you see the situation that's a little bit, it's different, but it's similar in the sense that that you have, you have a McLaren who's a little bit stuck because of this freeze on the technical regulations, but, somehow, they're going to have to make that that work. And I'm sure that moving forward that that they will be, working more to have like the engine more part of the chassis integrated, integrated in that way rather than trying to have to adapt for it. So it's going to be an interim thing, but next year is going to be a bit of a patchwork season. I mean, this year was always going to be a bit of a funny season that way anyways, just because, was sort of that in-between season between 2019 and 2021 and with the new regs. But of course, now that that's been pushed back year, next year it's going to be again another interesting season to watch. Anyways, guys, I think that's finally time to round it off and leave it there. You know, I really appreciate you guys coming to hang out and talk Formula, or listen to me talk Formula One this week. I know that we all have a lot of other things on our mind, but you know what? I feel good after sitting down here and talking about Formula One the last hour or so. It's just been the opportunity just to feel a little bit more like normal. And after all the uncertainty, all the concern, all the stress, all the pressure, and all the worry of the past couple of weeks, it was just nice to at least a little bit of time have a bit of an escape and kind of go back to business as usual, or as business as it used to be. At any rate, anyways, before I leave you again, I really hope that wherever you are, you're doing well, you're staying healthy, you and all your loved ones, all your family and friends, take care of each other, be kind to one another, look out for each other. And I know it's difficult right now, but we'll get through this together. No matter where you are in this beautiful world of ours, we're all in this together, and let's focus on not just flattening the curve, let's plank the damn curve and do our bit to get rid of this coronavirus. Remember, stay healthy, wash your hands. It really is as simple as that, with soap and water. Practice social distancing. Do all those good things, whatever, the health authorities, wherever you live, are telling you to do. Let's just do it. Let's do our bit. And then the sooner we can get this under control, the sooner life can go back to, well, maybe not normal, but some form of normal. And I think all of us would really like that to happen as soon as practically and possible, right? Anyways, I'm going to leave it there. Anyways, if you want to get in touch, email me, scooteryf1pod@gmail.com. Tweet me on Twitter @scooteryf1pod. Take care of yourself, guys. I'll be back sometime. I don't know when. It just depends if there's anything to talk about. And if not, maybe we'll, we got over 50 years of Formula One to talk about. So maybe we'll come back and focus on different things. There's a lot of material to cover. Anyways, take care of yourself. Talk to you again soon. Bye for now.
Thanks for listening to the Scuderia F1 podcast. If you want to get the show notes for this episode, then head over to scuderiaf1pod.com. Want to get in touch with us? Then email us at scuderiaf1pod@gmail.com.